too.
I think we're on number 20. Item number 20 is from the Director of Audits and Audit Report titled Improved Record Keeping Practices Are Needed to Ensure Accountability Over Inmate Trust Funds. This is a new audit.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. As you're aware, the sheriff operates two secured facilities, and we have over the years had comments from Baker Tilly Virchow Krause, the county's external auditor, about taking a look at these accounts, and it was also a matter where we independently reconcile all of the county's bank accounts, and we're beginning to see some issues with the inmate trust accounts. So we did engage in a review of the sheriff's management of inmate trust funds. We found that the records for the trust accounts really cannot be reconciled to bank balances. What we mean is that there are internal records of what each inmate has in their account, and that information cannot tie out to what is in the bank, could not tie out to what was in the bank. They did not keep subsidiary records, and they weren't reconciled to the overall bank account. This really began to be a significant problem when there was an effort to consolidate the inmate trust accounts for the two facilities, and there was a breakdown in terms of the timeliness, accuracy, and completeness of the transactions. It got to the point where, indeed, what we found was that there were unrecorded deposits that exceeded $1.8 million at one point. And then when we dug deeper into the records, we found that initially the bank's balance was about $420,000 off. We dug a little further and learned that about $962,000 was recorded as being belonging to the inmates. In 2010, were not retained when there was a separate system that was merged into the new system. So at the end of the day, what we saw was a situation where there was just a breakdown of accountability within the overall inmate trust account. And I want to be careful how I describe this because I know that there is a lot going on right now with the effort to disentangle the House of Correction from the sheriff's operations. But I would say this. The staff that we worked with at the end of this audit clearly gets it. Their accounting staff understands what is wrong and what needs to be done to fix it. We got to the point where I think we were concerned about accountability. We did some additional fraud probing and testing, and I think we can safely report that this isn't a situation where money is missing, but it is a situation where there needs to be more accountability over the money. They need to have better internal controls, better procedures, better standard reports, and they need to do a better job of reconciling accounts. There's some minor cleanup they need to do as well. We don't need to be issuing inmate trust account checks for 2 cents. There is a way to handle cash that is at least as accountable, if not more accountable, than that many checks flowing through the system. So problems happen. The question is, how do we resolve the problems? We think that the accounting staff of the sheriff's office gets it. We understand that there has been discussion in the work group on the splitting of the operation. There's been discussion around the idea of keeping one inmate trust account, even if we have two separately managed facilities. To us, that makes a lot of sense. And so what we're going to do with this report is just work with that transition team to make sure that these issues do not fall off the grid in terms of making sure we get the accounts cleaned up. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Cullen?
Thank you. Has this resulted in any inmates not having access to the money that's in their account?
They have access if they know that they have funds. There has been a situation where unclaimed funds have been swept into the general operations that instead of being turned over to the treasurer for recovery later by an inmate. But in the work we've done, it's more a matter of the accounting for the funds versus the availability for use while the inmates are in the system. It gets a little bit more soft once they've left the system if they don't know they're entitled to a refund or to cashing out their accounts.
You're welcome, Supervisor. Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the dates of these reports. I know we had originally seen this and read through these during the budget. I'm curious if the Office of the Sheriff might be able to provide us with a short verbal update since their response to the audit was dated October 17th and we're now in the middle of December. I know a lot of the dates for expected completion of compliance were December 31st. I'm just curious if we're on track in that department to meet those expectations of the audit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Inspector Bailey.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Inspector Edward Bailey with the Office of the Sheriff. I'm joined with Mr. Bill Lethlian, who is running my Fiscal Affairs Division and is waded waist-deep, Mr. Chairman, into this issue. And I would start, and then I'll have Bill give an update for the supervisor on what's taken place since our response. But on the transmittal letter from the comptroller, in the first paragraph, he makes a very true statement. In its current state, short of performing a transaction-by-transaction reconstruction of account activity. And he's using that as a threshold for what he is saying may need to be done, and I could not agree more. And that's essentially what Mr. Lethlian is going to be testifying to in a minute, Mr. Chairman, is that the Office of the Sheriff is now undergoing transaction-by-transaction reviews regarding all inmates that have been in the custody of the Sheriff's Office to determine on a specific level, looking at every period of time in which they've been in custody or out of custody, because there is some repeating business in the nature of crime, but looking at each time that they've been in and out, what's been owed or received from them, whether or not they're owed any type of a balance. And that is, I appreciated the comptroller's comment that we're not talking about money that's missing, it's money that's in the wrong column and unaccounted for. But one of the biggest concerns that the Sheriff's Office has is that on an individual basis, if there is money owed to an inmate, this is a population that needs access to their money, and if money is owed to them, it's important that it gets to them. And we will determine that on an inmate-by-inmate, month-by-month basis. Mr. Lethlian, if you could bring the board up to date on what you've been doing.
Good morning.
And would you spell your last name, sir?
Yes, sir. It's L-E-T-H-L-E-A-N.
L-E-T-H-L-E-A-N?
Correct.
Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Proceed, sir.
Good morning. Since we went through the audit with Mr. Hare's group, we have taken quite a few different measures, and I can safely say that we are now reconciling our inmate trust account balances on a daily basis for the months of September, October, and November. Each has been reconciled to the checkbook balance in our account. There is an unidentified balance, which Mr. Hare's report refers to, and we are continuing to work on that to identify it as we work backwards to retroactively reconcile the months of August, July, June, May, April, March, and February to the point of the merging of the databases. We have worked very hard to complete the reconciliations with our current system. We have been working with the vendor to create new reports to allow us to do this, and we have also created our own spreadsheets and reports to keep better control. I think the most significant challenge we have at this point in time for the immediate reconciliation is a retroactive reconciliation for these months back to February 7th, because the system is unable to capture individual transactions on a historic basis. We are using summary reports for each month and working backwards with those. But we have finished August. July is just about done. And this is continuing and ongoing. We had originally scheduled this to be done December 31st, but it looks as though with our current staff size and work load, we're going to have to move that target back to January 31st of 2013, but we will have that done. At that point in time, there may be some unidentified balances, which we will have to make arrangements to take those adjustments, either as a debit or a credit for our revenue and expenses. There were numerous inmate accounts that were not brought over in the database merge in February. These are accounts that were considered inactive at the time. They hadn't had any activity on them for some period of time in excess of a year. There are balances that go back to before the year 2000. And just to give you an idea, there were for the jail, there were 8,539 accounts with balances of almost $100,000. For the House of Correction, there were 1,626 accounts with balances of about $25,000. For the Huber program, there was 8,100 accounts with outstanding balances of $760,000. The majority of those are accounts that are under $100 each, but there are some accounts that are as high as $3,000. We were very concerned as we looked at these into the amounts, but as our research has been continuing, we've found that many of those outstanding balances aren't correct. I have several examples here as to the balances that are outstanding and what we have done in our review. On December 19th of 2005, we had an inmate at the House of Correction that was released after paying bail of $3,105. On December 27th, 2005, for some reason, the balance of his bail of $3,105 was credited back to his account. And there's records that we're continuing to research to make sure that the system can verify that we don't owe that individual $3,105. Another one was a Huber inmate accounting. Huber inmate indicates a balance of $2,279. He was on work release for 203 days and should have been charged $20.50 per day for a total of $4,161. He was released on December 29, 2003, and he was never charged. If he had been charged for his room and board, he would actually owe the county $1,882. Another Huber inmate was put on electronic surveillance on March 6, 2009, and released on May 4, 2009. The balance of his account is shown right now at $1,440. He was not billed for any of his time on electronic surveillance at $24 per day. Actually, we only owe him $24. Another Huber inmate was put on work release on March 15, 2002 and released on November 24th of 2003. The balance on his account is shown as $1,403. A review of his account indicates he was not billed for 111 days at $20.50 per day for a total of $2,275. He actually owes the county $872.
Mr. LaFleur, I'd like to stop here. Is it possible for us to get that information?
Yes, sir. I have a report right here.
Okay. Four committee members. Questions at this particular time? Supervisor Alexander?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious, once the accounts, the full reconciliation of the accounts is completed, how the department plans to true up the accounts to the reconciliation. After hearing some of these examples, I'm very concerned that, if a lot of those amounts are less than $100 that are up or down, that we would expend more resources in trying to collect them than just doing some kind of a write-off, et cetera. On another account, I think that if anyone is arrested, serves time, and is released, and they had money in their canteen account or whatever, they're entitled to that, especially considering that such a large majority of the people who are arrested are lower-income individuals and families. For them to trust our government and make those deposits and not ever receive a return, that's a big problem. And similarly, you know, if someone was arrested in 2002 and those issues and those incidences are behind them, but they owe us $800 or whatnot, if I were in their shoes, I would be pretty angry at my government if I got a bill 10 years later after I served time saying I owed $800. I'm curious, what's the rough game plan on how to do the real-life reconciliation of this issue once it's done on paper?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll have Mr. Lefling address that in a moment, but the overarching tone and the words that the supervisor used, which is true up, are exactly right. That's the goal, is to true up the accounts. At the time that the inmates are released from custody, the money that's in the balance, if it's positive, is returned to them. That really hasn't been an issue. The comptroller has talked about the cash handling. We'd made a decision as an agency to get out of money handling to the greatest extent possible because of the opportunity for theft, pilferage of small amounts of cash. So we'd made a decision several years ago to be issuing checks to inmates upon their release. That creates exactly the situation you're talking about, issuing checks for very small amounts of money, the accounting, the expense of accounting costs. So what we're doing now, and we've already made this change, is on inmate releases that have a balance of, we're using a threshold of $30. If their inmate account has $30 or more in it, we'll issue them $25 in cash at the time of release, the balance in a check. If it's less than $30, we'll issue it all to them in cash at the time of release. And that makes those small amount checks go away. That's one improvement that we've made. The other thing that's really embarrassing about this report is the lack of timeliness in bank deposits being made. In some instances, the report makes reference to a deposit not being made for 6 months is unacceptable. It's egregious. It's disgusting to have our name associated, and we've cleared that up. But the big issue in terms of truing up, and now I'll turn it over to Bill, is we do run negative inmate accounts. We deal with an indigent population, and so it is possible for an inmate to be released, have a negative balance, come back into custody later, and if we don't track it right, we don't seize the money at that time, we don't true the account up. And the goal is to have it trued up upon the admission of the inmate back into the jail, get the backlog cleaned up, and then keep it clean from that moment on. Bill, you can talk about the appeal.
Well, I think we have to look at the backlog here of these accounts and finish the reconciliation of the balances. And then at that point in time, we will know what have credit balances owing us and who we owe and how much. And I think at that point in time, we have to decide if we turn these over to the TRIP program for collection, depending upon the age, or... And then the balances that we owe, if we can even contact those people, that's very difficult after this many years sometimes. And we may have to turn those over as unclaimed funds to the county treasurer with as much information as we can. And those are decisions that will have to be made when we finish this reconciliation we're doing on the old accounts. Based upon our current process, it will take quite a bit of time, and we will probably have to search for some additional resources to get this done on a timely basis.
Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm somewhat familiar with how referrals to the TRIP program work. For those who don't know, TRIP is tax intercept, so if someone were to be in the TRIP program, that means that when they go to get their tax refund in the spring, some of it may have been confiscated by Milwaukee County to pay such a debt. I guess one of my top concerns then would be that if we get to that point where there are going to be TRIP referrals, that the debtor is notified before it goes TRIP, and that notification, especially if it's not, you know, current year, if this is something from 5 or 10 years ago or an exorbitant amount, that notification is apologetic in nature, because I think that it would be a huge mistake of Milwaukee County to start doing TRIP referrals based on such a gross mistake in our own negligence in the matter. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor Jersey.
I'm glad to hear Mr. Bailey say that this is an embarrassment, because I think this is an embarrassment. And it may be a large numbers of small amounts, but it also looks like just general policies such as there are probably a lot of areas I could pick out, but the one that really stands out to me is the requirement that unclaimed funds be turned over to the treasurer. And the report suggests that that was not done and, in fact, retained within the sheriff's office. I mean, this is basic violation of fiduciary trusts and so on. Is that a practice that continues? I mean, what can you say about that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The issue that I noted was an amount, small amounts, under $10, and I've been advised by people that are no longer in the room that there were agreements going back previously between the treasurer's office and my office that I was not, frankly, party to. And even if they were and they don't meet the thresholds of state statute, which clearly is telling us, gives us very clear direction, we have a fiduciary responsibility. You said it exactly right. And to answer the real question is it ongoing? The answer is no. The real issue we are now working with in clearing this audit is for the very small dollar amounts, particularly those under $10. We're going to work with Corporation Counsel on what might be a best practice for posting if we end up at the end of the day with owed inmate monies. And that is, and I'm sure with the committee as well, our greatest concern is that we owe a population that needs their money anything. And, of course, we'll come back and report our findings to this committee and meet your demands.
I don't recall the gentleman's name. If you could say it one more time,
please. It's Bill Lethlean.
Are you here as a contract employee?
No, ma'am. I was hired as an accounting manager in July.
July of this year?
Yes.
Were you specifically hired for this project?
No. I was hired as a full-time accounting manager for the fiscal affairs for the sheriff.
So you do have other projects besides this one?
I do.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if I might. Bill's essentially running our fiscal division. We still have the ability to consult with Mr. Preeby, who is well known to the board. And that has value to us because he's been doing the job for so long. But Bill is functionally his replacement at this current time. And Bill has a history with the sheriff's office. I used to work with Bill when I was a sergeant in the drug unit. We lost him to another house of county government. We were able to steal him back. And his work ethic is impressive.
I appreciate that. Can you tell us what other government he was working for?
County government.
I worked at the airport. I worked there as an accountant at the airport.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I hate hearing Mr. Lethlean say that because that's the supervisor's district, and now he's only one of our employees.
Not quite. I have three cities that surround it. It's
there
actually Supervisor Haas's district, although I constantly bug him about it. This is probably the worst audit. Not the worst audit. It's been good work, but this is probably. it is an embarrassment. This is really, and we're talking about a population that doesn't need anything else happening to them, and I get these complaints from time to time in my office. How difficult it is for inmates to get their money back, for them to get accountings and so on. And, it looks like from the dates here, this is way overdue. But I appreciate that there's at least responsiveness to it now. I don't know how you're going to resolve some of these fiduciary violations. I just don't know how you're going to do that. But I assume Mr. Hare will continue to follow up on this. I see all the recommendations without spending a lot of the committee time. I think we need to make sure that this committee, follows along with this, that there's a new sense of urgency on getting this in order.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Real quick, I saw a date of 2000. Are we going back all the way to 2000 with the changes?
Supervisor, we have looked at all the balances out there that were not carried forward, anything that was considered inactive on the account, on that system. Some of them go back to before 2000. Yes, sir.
Okay. And this audit is, Mr. Hare, when did you start your audit? What date?
I think we had the entrance conference in April of this year. We had like four conference going with the sheriff's office this year. So, but I think this was the second one we completed after the forfeiture funds. I think we met in April.
Okay.
And I would just add, if I could, Mr. Chair, the audit really kicked into gear in terms of bringing issues to resolution when Mr. Lefling was allowed to bring more of his attention away from other accounting matters and to these issues. He's going to have to touch, he and his staff will have to touch pretty much every account from the viewpoint of child support, restitution, fines and forfeitures, room and board, payments to and from people who are putting money in their account, phone usage, canteen usage. At the end of the day, there will be a requirement to then either collect it or write it off, pay it out, or somehow dispose of any balances, and that's where we'll continue to monitor their efforts in cleaning up the account as we go forward, as we do with any audit.
Okay.
So we're encouraged by the level of cooperation I think we're going to have going forward on finishing off what needs to be done on these issues.
All right. Well, the positive thing is that we're going forward in the reconciliation. Are you doing it? I see you were listening, providing us with a significant amount of examples. Were you going to keep going with those? Do you have everybody on
No,
there?
Sir. I only picked out seven.
Okay. Just wondering. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Alexander. Thank you, Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Another question that has come to mind is, and I don't know if either Mr. Hare or Corp Counsel could speak to this at all, if there's anything statutorily requiring us to pay interest on amounts that were held after a certain period of time.
Mr. Chair, our understanding has always been statutory interest does toll, but obviously I'm not an attorney. Don't aspire to be one. I'll defer to Mr. Brady on that point.
I believe Mr. Hare is correct.
He really hates to say that.
That's what it is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other further comments? Mr. Hare, any further comments?
Just this, Mr. Chairman, the recommendation is received and placed on file, and we will provide you a status report. So there's a resolution with your agenda.
So moved.
Supervisor Jordan, proposed to receive and place on file this report with a status report. Did you say 6 months?
I think 6 months may be appropriate given all the other stuff going on with the transition. I know this is part of that transition, so unless you have objections, that would be our plan.
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Madam Clerk, any comments, questions regarding the motion? And who is to move such? Jersey. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
This is for approval of the resolution, which was the recommendation received and placed on file with the follow-up in 6 months. Supervisors Haas.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Jersey.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Alexander.
Aye.
Stanford.
Aye.
Cullen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved, 8-0.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee.
Thank you. Let's go back.
Going back to number 10.
Number 10, yes, please.